1 Corinthians chapter 12 here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will take another look at a lesson on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. And the reason why I want to emphasize this is because there are some who get confused between natural abilities and God-given abilities or spiritual gifts as we understand them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just by way of an introduction here, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. All right, so the only way we're not going to be ignorant about these things is if we have teaching on it. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, notice here his teaching on spiritual gifts then. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Even as we go down through these verses, notice each member of the Trinity is mentioned here. So there's diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. That's a one Holy Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So probably a reference here in particular to God the Father. So again, God, the triune members of the Trinity, are working together in these gifts. It says in verse 7 then, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. We'll talk about that term in more detail in another study, but it says here, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Notice the emphasis on the same Spirit. So it's not a different Spirit. That's why I often will say that as far as the modern day charismatic movement, it's another Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, because obviously these things are not functional as Scripture indicates. It says in verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. So again, we see here that God the Holy Spirit does not want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, here's the definition of a spiritual gift. It's a God-given ability for service. And again, I emphasize the God-given ability. Notice Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So God is the one, in particular God the Holy Spirit, as we understand Scripture, comparing passage with Scripture with Scripture. It's the Holy Spirit in particular that gives gifts according to His sovereign will. Ephesians 4, verses 7 and 8. But unto every one of us, notice every one of us, we'll come back to that here in a moment, unto every one of us is given grace, notice is a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and notice this, gave gifts unto men. All right, so we see here that these are God-given abilities for service. Now, I want to contrast this, as I've mentioned, with the natural abilities. I want you to see what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in relation to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, let me ask you, maybe I'll rephrase this here. Is a Christian who teaches in a college, all right, so we're just talking about, shop class, whatever, teaching in a college, is that Christian using a spiritual gift of teaching? Okay, not necessarily. I want you to consider here that the difference here between talents and spiritual gifts. Now, I want you to see this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody, or let's say, for example, specifically, a Christian who may be considered a great speaker, that could be a natural talent, could be a spiritual gift. Now, I want you to notice this here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, all right, so here's the Apostle Paul, and, when you think about how God used the Apostle Paul, we think of him probably being as this great speaker, and he could move people, and that's not necessarily the case. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And notice how he was with them in the church at Corinth. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. That tells me he probably was not some great orator, a great speaker as we would consider it today. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to consider that talents are natural abilities that are enhanced by training and education. All right, so somebody, again, we'll use specifically mention a Christian. A Christian who's teaching in some college or university is not necessarily utilizing a spiritual gift, unless that spiritual gift is edifying the body of Christ. So in contrast to that, a spiritual gift is a supernatural enablement for the service of God in the local church. Now, I'm going to give you the example of this. When I was in high school, I hated speech class. You may not figure that out today, because I've been preaching and teaching now with the call of God in my life since I was 16 years old. I want you to think about the fact that this enabling goes beyond natural ability. Now, there's an example of this in Acts chapter 7. You don't need to turn there because I'm just going to mention it here. But Moses, while he was in Egypt, it says was a man mighty in word. Now, that tells me that Moses, when he's trained by the Egyptian universities and all those things, Moses was a great orator. He could move people with the things that he said. Well, after talking to sheep for 40 years, what did he have to say about his abilities to speak? He says, I'm not a good speaker, Lord. All of a sudden, he can't speak much because there's not a lot of intelligent conversation you can have with a sheep. That for 40 years, that's like a mother that's only all day talking to toddlers. She just wants some communication when her husband comes home and her husband's ready to, he just wants to sit in front of the TV or read the newspaper. But you think about it, Moses probably got to a point where I want to talk to somebody other than a sheep. But he had to realize, when you even think about God says, well, Aaron can speak. He'll be your spokesman. So Moses in Egypt was a man mighty in word. I believe that indicates the natural ability that was enhanced through training and education. But as we understand this, in contrast, teaching the word of God is supernatural. 1 Peter 4:11 speaks of speaking as of the oracles of God. We'll see that passage here in a moment. As I've already indicated, every believer has at least one gift. All right, so do you know what spiritual gift God has given to you? Now, let me just point out here, in case I forget to say this, I like to mention this in relation to spiritual gifts. Where in the Bible is special music, the ability to sing, listed as a spiritual gift? Oh, she's so gifted, people will say. That's not, being able to get up and sing is not a spiritual gift. It may be a gift of ministry that is being expressed through that music, but the ability to sing is a natural ability. The ministry behind that ability to sing, not everybody has the gift of ministry and special music if they have trouble singing. That's one way of expressing that gift of ministry. Again, the Bible doesn't speak of special music as being a spiritual gift, but some people will think of it that way. And again, every believer has at least one gift. What is yours? 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, we saw that it was given to every man. We saw in Ephesians 4:7, unto every one of us is given this. We'll see this passage here in a moment, but 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift. And by the way, it's interesting, the phrase, the gift, is translated from a Greek word, charisma. Oh, there's where we get the charismatic. You can be a charismatic as you exercise your spiritual gift. We're not talking about a charismatic in the modern day understanding of it. That emphasizes the gift of tongues in particular. Now, not everyone has the same gifts. Notice 1 Corinthians 12 again, later on in the passage, I want you to see this. Not everyone has the same gifts. So that's a problem with what the charismatics teach, that everyone should seek the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. Now God hath set, notice God is the one who has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. You know, and thinking about Moses again, this thought just came to my mind. Thinking of Moses again, you remember in, Numbers 16, the sons of Korah and all that, who rose up against Moses and, you know, who are you, Moses, to take leadership and, you know, God hasn't just spoken through you, he can speak through others as well. I remind you that Moses didn't want the job. Moses was not the one who sought the position that he had. Notice here again, in fact, the sons of Korah, God took care of them. The ground just opened up and they went straight into the pit. That tells me they were unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So God is the one who places and also gifts according to his sovereign will. Now it's interesting as you close out this chapter then, in relation to not having the same gifts, notice verse 29 and 30. Now the questions are asked and the emphasis is in a negative sense. It's to be understood that not everyone is an apostle or prophet and so on. Are all apostles? The obvious answer is no. Now the charismatics think that apostles are still around. We'll talk about that. Are all prophets? No, obviously not. Are all teachers? Well, if they're all teachers, who's going to be the student in the class? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Again, the consistent answer through all this is no. So I don't know how the charismatics deal with that question. Well, they probably use a modern Bible that changes the wording. Do all interpret tongues? The obvious answer is no, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. So not everyone has the same gifts. Now, let me pause there and just say, this is not an excuse for us not giving, you know, to the Lord's work. Well, I don't have the gift of giving, so I just have to throw $5 in. That doesn't let us off the hook of tithing and so on, tithes and offerings, as the Bible says. Well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Okay, let me just mention something here. Where do you find the gift of evangelism in Scripture? There is the gifted man evangelist, but there is no quote-unquote gift of evangelism. Well, I don't have to be involved in evangelism because I don't have that gift. No, that does not let us off the hook. All of us are to find ways to get the gospel out. I had an unexpected opportunity to get the gospel out to somebody that showed up here. I thought Windstream had forgotten about us, so I just buried that cable and ran it along the building here. All of a sudden, two guys came up, mostly speaking Espanol, but they came up and they permanently buried a line, you know, for our phone and internet. And so grabbed a couple of our Spanish chick tracks, and I said, Espanol. I said, sí, hey, thank you. An unexpected opportunity to, get the gospel in their hands at least. But again, you think about this. I cannot say I do not have the gift of to let us off the hook. Well, I don't have the gift of ministry, so I can be mean and harsh with people around me. No, that doesn't let us off the hook. So again, there's other things that we need to be involved with, even though we do not have that specific gift. The purpose for spiritual gifts is for the edification of the local church for the glory of God. We saw in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to profit with all, for the good of the entire church. I want you to think about this, though, that in many cases, people get caught up in the idea that spiritual gifts are all about them. I want you to consider that it's for the good of the church. And let me just say this, if everyone has a spiritual gift, if somebody is in the church is not looking for an opportunity to minister someone, then they're going to be miserable in the church because it's not all about them. Notice, with that said, notice Ephesians chapter 4. Well, I just don't get anything out of church. Well, what are you putting into church? You know, so somebody who has an issue with that, obviously they're not profiting with all as far as the church is concerned. You know, determining what God has gifted them with And by the way, that's not something we seek necessarily. Again, God is the sovereign God who gives gifts to men. It says in the context, verse 11, and he gave some, Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice again, these offices, these gifted men are given to the church for perfecting the saints. Notice they're not doing the work of the ministry, but they're perfecting the saints so that the work of the ministry does go on. And notice here the purpose of this is the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice the goal, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice Christ is the standard of comparison there. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So again, what part of the purpose of this is so that we have doctrinal discernment. Again, we need teaching. We need pastors and evangelists. Of course, we have the teaching or the scriptures of the apostles and prophets. Those are things that are helping us to have discernment. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, you notice that this is a continuing sentence here. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. All right, so what joint are you? Some people have the jaw joint. Some are an elbow joint, a knee joint. Notice, every joint supplies. Now, let me ask you. Brother Dave knows how this works. If you have one of your joints that is not working properly, it affects your whole life, doesn't it? I mean, it affects how easily you work. It affects how easily you carry about your duties. So notice, if one joint is crippled up, it's going to affect the entire church. If one person in the church is not utilizing their spiritual gifts, then I believe it affects the entire church. It hinders the work of the church. Notice, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Of course, the word edifying means to build up. As we utilize our spiritual gifts, is the church strengthened? Is the church built up as we exercise the spiritual gifts that God has given? So again, the purpose is the edification of the local church for the glory of God. Now, let's look at 1 Peter 4:10. I told you we were going there. Now is the time. 1 Peter chapter 4. Should we look at verse 9? This tells us that we're not off the hook just because I don't have the gift of hospitality. Oh, that's not in the list, I guess. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Oh, I have to do it. Notice, as every man, as we've already seen, everyone has received a gift. As every man hath received the gift, again, that phrase, the gift, is the Greek word charisma. Even so minister the same one to another. All right, speaking in tongues. No, that's not mentioned here, is it? Notice the gift, charisma, even so minister the same one to another. All right, so as you have received the gift, notice what we're to do with that gift. To minister the same one to another. It's not to show, look at the gift that I have. Let me just say this. Just because the pastor has more of a public ministry doesn't mean he's any more important than anyone else in the church. There are some preachers who have trouble with that. I don't have any more important role in the church than anyone else. But it's what God has given me to do in the church. You notice here again, the gift as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So if I'm not exercising the gift that God has given, then I am not a good steward. Did you notice that? I am not a good steward if I am not exercising the gift that God has given. If any man speak, as I mentioned earlier, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's why I believe it's very important to make sure everything is based on Scripture. Not just reading a verse and then telling a bunch of stories, like so many preachers like doing. I am to teach as the, speak as the oracles of God. This is what God says. If any man minister. All right, so who's the minister of the church? Who's the minister of the church? Here's the common thinking in our day. This is the minister of the church. That's not true. Notice what it says here. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Again, that's why I say it's a God-given ability. So who's the minister of the church? It's better to have plural with that. Who are the ministers of the church? Anyone who names the name of Christ and is a member of the church is a minister. I'm just one of the ministers of this church. So again, you notice here, everyone is to exercise, you know, to do this as the ability which God giveth. Notice here's the reason, the ultimate goal, that God in all things may be glorified. Not look at me. Look at the gifts that God has given to me. That's not the purpose. It's for the glory of God. If somebody does not exercise their gift in the local church, then God is not ultimately glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And let me just say this. As gifts are exercised in the church, I believe, for the benefit of others, for the glory of God, not for me. You notice here, things are strengthened and God is glorified. Now, possessing certain spiritual gifts does not imply spiritual maturity. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right, and I again use the example of the pastor. Just because the pastor has even maybe sometimes more than one gift does not mean that he's spiritually mature. He could be carnal, just like anyone else. I want you to consider here in 1 Corinthians 3, written to a church that evidently was very gifted. So you think about this, they had spiritual gifts, but that does not mean that they were spiritually mature, as we see in this passage. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. All right, so they were exercising their gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and so on that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. But you can still be exercising a spiritual gift and be carnal. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So you notice here again, just because I have a particular spiritual gift does not mean that I'm spiritually mature. I can be carnal as I'm exercising this gift that God has given. Because everyone has the gift, but you know, there's times when some of that can be done in the flesh. I just think of it this way. Because I've been preaching and teaching now for decades, the temptation in me is, I've studied that out before. I don't need to study anything new on that. And I want you to think about the fact that when you become familiar with something, here's another example that just came to my mind. So somebody who has the gift of ministry and they're singing a special music number. The first time they do that, what happens? They're nervously trembling, just like the first time I preached. If you ever want to keep a preacher humble, ask him about his first sermon, as the saying goes. The first time you do something, you're nervous. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. I need help. But after you do it over time, it's like, God, I can take care of this one. Lord, I can take care of this one. You notice here again the emphasis there on not being too confident in those things, but depending on the one who gave the gift. Again, the church at Corinth was a gifted church, but it was a carnal church. Also, I want you to consider chapter 12 again later on in the chapter. I read verses 1 through 11. All right, so possessing certain spiritual gifts, as I've already indicated, does not indicate importance in the church as well. Certain gifts are more important than others. That's not the case. That's not the emphasis of Scripture. Notice verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. We saw this under the baptism of the Spirit. Whether it be Jews or Gentiles, or it be bond or free. Notice social standing, all those things, social status has nothing to do with importance in the church. and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You know, the body is not the six-foot eyeball. This eyeball is not going to function as easily as a body with many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, notice these comparisons are not to be made in the church. I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So this ear does, well, you know, I'm not as important as the eye, so I'm not really needed around here. All right, so if you don't have your ear, how are you going to hear? You know, the eyeball is not going to be able to hear things. So again, all the members are important, so there's no comparisons to be made in the church. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He gave us two ears, two eyes. I mean, you think about the balance of the body. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Again, it takes all the members of the body to function as a body. It takes all the members in a church to function as a body. But now are they many members, yet one body. Notice diversity bringing about unity. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Again, this attitude of superiority. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So as you think about the word feeble there, it carries the idea of being unimportant. As I was listening to a preacher here recently, I'm talking about earlobes. Why do we have earlobes? They don't seem to be very important. But you know, you think about, well, okay, so they're not important, so what do ladies do? All right, men, don't do it. They put jewelry in them. You know, nobody walks up to us, oh, you have such nice-looking earlobes. Nobody says that. That sounds stupid, doesn't it? But yeah, if a woman has jewelry, you know, earrings in her ears, oh, look at those earrings that match your necklace. All of a sudden, we've made something that's feeble more beautiful. That's carrying the idea here. It says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. All right, so how many times have you really thought about your liver unless you're having problems with your liver? We don't think about our kidneys until we're having pain in our kidneys. Again, these members of the body, we don't think about it. Okay, how long can you live without your heart? we don't think, that this is the problem when we're young. We eat whatever we want, and you know, we don't think about our health and everything until we start having some aches and pains. It's like, oh, I better start thinking about what I eat. We don't think about those things when we're healthy and young and all those things. But as we get older, and more aches and pains, we start thinking about some of those things then. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Put earrings in the earlobe. And it says, our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. You think about this also. Why did God give us toenails? You know, our son Ryan just lost 5 of them in a surgical procedure. I think he probably would say that it wasn't necessarily minor surgery. He couldn't wear shoes for a couple of days comfortably. But you think about this, toenails. I mean, oh, you have such nice-looking toenails. No, so what do ladies do when they're wearing sandals? They paint them all up. Oh, look at those. That fingernails. Why do we have fingernails? I mean, it probably protects us a little bit, but they get dirty. And so what do ladies do? They paint them up. Fingernails do not seem to be very important, honorable, but yet we bestow upon, ladies bestow more abundant honor on them. I can't figure out why some of these ladies, they don't want long fingernails because the hassle of it, but yet they'll stick long fingernails on them so they can take them on and off whenever they want these long fingernails. But then they have all different colors. Again, you notice here it says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Paint our toenails. Ladies, men, that's not comely for men. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, split or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. One member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ and members in particular. Many members, one body. And that one body is working together for the common good of the church, for the glory of God. Gifts also can be neglected. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I have noticed this over the years, that when I'm not teaching or preaching on a regular basis, if I'm not preparing things on a regular basis, becomes a little rusty, as I would say. Again, the spiritual gift is there, but even as we're going to see, it needs to be stirred up. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. Here Paul tells Timothy, in fact, let's look at a little bit of the context, because he's emphasizing some things as far as Timothy is concerned. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Notice, pay attention to these things. Reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Doctrine speaks of teaching. Notice verse 14 then. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, I believe, as I've studied this out, that phrase, which was given thee by prophecy, probably carries the idea of Timothy not necessarily recognizing the gift that was in him. But someone recognized it, probably the Apostle Paul, as we look at the book of Acts. Notice it was recognized in him, and notice the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, probably as ordaining to that particular ministry. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Your progress, spiritual progress. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's not salvation from hell. That's talking about deliverance, spiritual deliverance. Now, what you consider here, though, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Somebody can neglect the gift that the Spirit of God has given to them. But that also said, notice 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here's where Paul tells Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou, notice, I want you to remember something here, Timothy, stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Again, if I rarely preached, I would struggle in my spiritual gift. And I want you to consider, though, as the gift is exercised, it energizes. I had never really thought about this until our former pastor mentioned this. There's times, quite honestly, humanly speaking, on Sunday morning, physically, I don't necessarily look forward to preaching on Sunday. I've heard it described this way. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said this, that preaching on the Lord's Day, preaching one sermon is equivalent to the energy of 8 hours of work. Now, physical labor, not necessarily, but so you preach and teach 3 times on a Sunday. I get to the afternoon and it's like, don't say anything. I'm dead to the world. Physically, but I'll be tired on Sunday morning. But as I get started, the exercising of the spiritual gift is energizing. I believe that's part of what's involved with this stirring up the gift of God. As this gift is exercised, it stirs up in my spirit as the Spirit of God works. Gifts may be discovered by prayerfully trying different ministries in the church. I don't believe I'm gifted in that. Well, have you ever tried it? You think about the first time your pastor has come, came to you, and probably not me, because a lot of you men have already preached and teached, for years now. But teached? What did I just say? Preached and taught. I just realized what I said. Preached and taught for years now. But you think about the first time a pastor came to you and said, "Will you teach Sunday school class for me on Sunday?" what am I going to say for 35 minutes? Well, now I'm at a point where in my life, because of exercising the spiritual gifts that God has given to me over the years, now I'm at a point where I don't have enough opportunities. Man, I apologize. I've wanted you guys to teach more in Sunday school, but I've got so many series I'm trying to work on right now that I don't have enough opportunities to teach. But you think about as that first time comes, all right, so if you fall flat on your face, does that mean you quit? Oh, no, maybe I need to try it again just to make sure. But again, the spiritual gift, you discover them by trying different ministries in the church to see if that's what God has gifted you to do. But here's what I believe is in particular true as far as discovering a spiritual gift. Somebody else sees it in you. Oh, you have the gift of ministry. You have the gift of helps. We'll see some of these in particular. But somebody else seeing that spiritual gift as you're exercising that, doing that in the church. Gifts are developed with use. Again, stirring that up by using that gift. Now, many desire spiritual gifts, though, according to 1 Corinthians 14:1, rather than a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about, again, looking at the example of the church in Corinth. They were a gifted church, and from what I can tell in there, they exercised their spiritual gifts. But there's a trap, if we're not careful, we'll get into of exercising our spiritual gifts, but we don't have a relationship with the one who gave the gifts. I just think about, again, the emphasis on the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Many desire spiritual gifts rather than a relationship with the Spirit. Again, that's spiritual immaturity. God is giving all of these things to strengthen our relationship with Him. Again, God gave gifts to men. Now, I don't know how many lessons we'll have on this, but I want to emphasize three different aspects of spiritual gifts. First of all, ministry gifts. And we saw that in Ephesians 4. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. Those are what I refer to as ministry gifts. But that we also read in 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation gifts. I believe these are supernatural sign gifts that are no longer in operation today. And again, we'll study that out so we have answers as far as Scripture is concerned. But then here's what I believe is the emphasis of most of the church. Motivational gifts. I believe there are gifts that God has given to people, believers in the church, that should motivate. That should motivate them to exercise those gifts, but also to motivate others as those gifts are exercised in the church. The gifts of the Spirit. God in His sovereign plan has given gifts to men. Now, I've actually had somebody, or in the past, emphasize that he believed that all gifts have ceased. I don't believe so as you look at Scripture. Again, with the completed Word of God, I believe there were some, as we refer to them as sign gifts, that were no longer needed. Why? Because we had the completed revelation. You know, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, those kinds of things were not needed anymore because the revelation was complete. But again, the body of Christ is still functioning today. So that's why I believe there were some, as I'm referring to them as motivational gifts, to strengthen one another for the glory of God. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity for us to be able to study and be reminded of some of these things. And Lord, I pray that you would lead and guide as our study commences on the spiritual gifts. Lord, it's a very important thing because there's several passages, even as we've already considered, several passages that relate to spiritual gifts. And they're functioning in the local church. Lord, help us to not fall into the trap of exercising a gift and not having a relationship with you, the gift giver. Lord, I just pray that we will do these things for your glory. And Lord, that the church, this local body, will be strengthened even as we consider spiritual gifts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.